it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reception Perception, the show, is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
In Buffalo, Keon Coleman has established himself as the true number one wide receiver in Buffalo. Fluke or for real?
I will say fluke, but it's not so much about Keon Coleman. I'll get to Coleman in a second here because I've already charted that game out. But that being said, I do think that my thing on the Bills receiver room is that I don't think like there is everybody always wants there to be like a number one. Sure. I think there's not a true number one by design, because I think they want to, you know, pick and choose based on like matchups, because they have so many different wide receiver rooms here, or so many different wide receiver types. You know, like Josh Palmer is very different than Keon Coleman. Khalil Shakir is very different than these guys. You know, Elijah Moore is in there like making a couple plays. They have the two tight ends. They have James Cook in the passing game. I think they just have a lot of guys that they can throw at it and like solve different problems based on alignment, based on situation. I mean, a great example of that is Keon Coleman, who had 8 catches, 112 yards and a touchdown. He had 7 for 95 and a touchdown in the fourth quarter alone. So it was like, okay, it's time to like push it downfield. It's time to catch up. I'm not saying that to say that makes his production fluky or BS or fake or anything like that, but it's just like, okay, it's time to push it down the field. Also, I'm going to get into creation mode as Josh Allen. Let's like make things happen here. That is where, to me, Keon Coleman has, even last year when I was definitely critical of his overall profile, the thing I said stood out, even as he's playing in this role that I don't love for him as the vertical X receiver, I'm like, this guy uncovers really well when Josh Allen is in creation mode. I actually kind of compared it.
He's so good at backyard football. Insane.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And like, it's not too dissimilar, honestly, to Gabe Davis, who's also like on the practice squad of the Bills right now as he gets healthy with a meniscus injury. But the other areas to me that stood out with Coleman. So the alignment is not too dissimilar from him as a rookie. He took 92.1% of his sampled snaps in this game, 92.1% of his snaps outside as the outside receiver. So it's still purely outside stuff. His use off the line of scrimmage is still 25%. So he's still mostly like X receiver, but we're not at 80-80 anymore. His snaps, 80% on the line of scrimmage, are actually down to just 75%. They did some things that are, you know, this isn't in the charting, but like where they would stack him like right on top of Khalil Shakir to give him those free releases, which I think he needs. That was good. The route tree is also very different for Keon Coleman. Last season, he ran a 9 route on 28.1% of his routes. In this game against Baltimore, 14.3%. So definitely tighter to the line of scrimmage. The slant route is 14.3%, which is actually lower. The dig route is up from 7.9% to 12.2%. He had some nice dig route wins in this game. But the area where I really thought he showed individual player growth was working against man coverage and like selling a vertical route and throttling back down to Josh Allen. He ran a curl route on 30.6% of his routes in this game. I only have him like not open on one of those. He did a really good job to like sell those vertical routes, throttle down, drop his weight, and sink and just present a target to Josh Allen. And then I think he tracked the football a little bit better this in this game. Definitely some contested catch. Like he had a one, maybe that one against the in on the 2-point conversion. I'm kind of like, should he have caught that or could Josh have placed it better? But he had one where he really worked well on the sideline while working back to the quarterback. So I just thought he played pretty well in this game from a man coverage standpoint. Now his success rate versus zone is still like 65.4%. It's not very good. I mean, even against man coverage, 65.2%. I don't think that separation will ever be the strength of Keon Coleman's game.
No.
That being said, that ability to sell vertical, throttle down and like work over the middle on dig routes or work back to the quarterback, that's what makes you like more Cortland Sutton than Devontae Parker. If we're talking about like the not great separators at X receiver. And, you know, to be fair to Cortland Sutton, he was a guy that struggled in his first season in reception perception. Keon Coleman, right?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked about he's a 50% success rate versus man coverage, 74.7% against zone in his rookie season. Definitely not what you want. It's not 0%, right? People are like, oh, he can't get open. It's like, well, he can get 50%. You know, it's just not as high as you want it. Cortland Sutton in 2018 was sub 60% and sub 72% against zone. And obviously has improved a lot since then to the point where he's at over 70% success rate versus man in 2024. So that's maybe like a player comp for Keon Coleman. He could kind of become that type of player if he's going to stick at X receiver.
Contested catch, I thought is very good with his concentration on these catches. Very good. He presents himself as a really nice red zone threat too. Goal to go threat. I think he's, you know, great in the end zone. He just has a knack for getting to the football, when he needs to. Again, great at backyard football. I tell you what, man, this guy would have been great with Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? Like would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, his touchdown. I don't know if I don't think he was the intended target.
No,
I think
he wasn't. That was insane.
That thing got tipped. Which, by the way, if we're talking like, I don't expect Keon Coleman to come out here and get over 100 yards and a touchdown every single game because the conditions we talked about here in the fourth quarter, a lot of the productions, the touchdown, he wasn't even targeted on the play. Yeah. But still, even apart from the tip, that was a play where he worked himself into a big ass window because Josh Allen was in creation mode and he just went and got it. There was another route. I think this was like on a, what you'd classify as like a dig or a crosser where Josh Allen gets into creation mode. He's working to the outside and he's like points to Coleman and Coleman's like at that point covered by the Ravens corner. And he just like, he pushes just slightly vertical and then works himself open. And then there's this, and then he's got a lot of separation. That's the type of little like nuanced stuff that
I love it.
Like that little uncover ability. Is it going to come out to like a freaking Christmas tree route chart? Like the RP bros want to see? Not necessarily, but it's parts of his game that are legitimate strengths. And why I said this offseason, like, yes, he's got the red route chart. I don't want to sit here and sit like make fun of him and say he sucks. Like there are parts of his game that are definitely worth leaning into.
Okay, so in 2024, you charted him with a 61.1% success rate on the curl. I never thought that him sinking his hips down and throttling down was ever a really good part of his game, even going back to his Florida State days. 61.1% in the red. Not very good. After 1 week, you mentioned, I only bring this up because you mentioned him being able to throttle down a little bit on the curl. Did you see market improvement there?
Yes, 100%. And back on his collegiate profile, he was kind of average on curl routes, 20.8% of his sampled routes as a prospect, 76.5% success rate. The dig route was kind of average as well. That was like in the yellow, right? If we're talking about the colors, those were two routes that were really good for him in week one, in addition to slants, which I just think he's been a good slant route runner, even last year in that kind of rough rookie season. Really good at just like getting into those routes and getting separation. I want to see just more plays where he's got the ball in his hands too. Totally. Like he almost housed that one where Jair Alexander maybe should have let him score, but he almost housed that one where, you know, he just kind of gets him literally by like the ankle. It does Jair Alexander as he's falling down. I'd love to see more opportunities, which is why I've just always been like obsessed with the idea of him as a big slot, because then you'd get more opportunities like that. But definitely market improvement on the curl route, his most commonly run route. And I think he just, again, was a lot more nuanced as a player. Sell that vertical route. Yeah. And the Ravens saw him a lot last year and saw him running a lot of vertical routes, so they know that they saw him twice, regular season and in the divisional, obviously, so they know he's going to just try to run verticals, and he showed them that, and then throttled down, snap back. Very encouraging for Keon Coleman.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.